You're called to holy living, but how to grow in holiness? Come to Westminster Seminary, California's Transforming Grace Conference, January 17 and 18, 2014, to discover what the Bible says about growing in holiness and the Christian life. Join Mike Horton, W. Robert Godfrey, and others to learn how the same grace that saves you also transforms you. Go to wscal.edu/conference2014. wscal.edu/conference2014. Space is limited. Register today.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
What do we really believe happens anymore when the Word of God is preached to us? We know that people don't like to be preached at today, and so we come today with the assumption that what people really don't want or what they don't really need are Bible expositions, but practical lessons for life. What has that done? Are we really seeing life-changing hearts birthed out of this kind of approach to Christian ministry today? What is the fruit of this new approach that we have seen happen in our generation to a pastor standing up and giving us life stories to help us along with our journeys? Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are tackling the Christian ministry and, as in Acts chapter 16, what I've called the opened heart, looking at the account with Lydia. You are welcome to visit our website at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Many resources there for you, so do please make use of that website and learn more about who we are and what we believe. Well, today on Abounding Grace, what have we seen happen in the American evangelical scene with regard to the pulpit ministry? Isn't it true today that how rare it is to find a pastor who stands up and dives deep into the Bible and preaches the Word of God, giving biblical exposition? The sermon has really been evolving for some time. We have actually moved from the sermon to the message to the life story, a sermon to the message to the lesson. All of these things have gone on in our lifetime. And if there is a first service anymore, in the very first service, little attention is given to the method of preaching. Years ago, across denominational lines, even in the second worship services, because churches would generally in this country, no matter where you, whether you were a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Reformed, whatever you were, there were two worship services and people would gather and they would sit under and listen to the Word of God preached. Almost across denominational lines today, not only has the second service been done away with, but we no longer have the method of preaching that is front and center. It really is just the short, practical lessons for daily life. What happens in this environment? That's what I want to tackle today. Does the Lord bless this? Two possibilities, I suppose. One is what happened to the church in Ephesus, where the Lord threatened that the candlestick could be removed. You would have a dying church, or it could become a synagogue of Satan. You have all these things in Revelation that can happen to a church when it's not fulfilling its mission and its mandate. The point is that we are not left anymore with the impression that preaching is the means of God's way of saving people from hell and their sins. And if you devalue that, nothing else can really fill the void. Nothing else is given the life power appointed by the Holy Spirit to bring people out of the darkness. And so this is important today to think about, because without the ministry of the Word, without the preaching of the gospel, there's just not too much the church can do to really provide life for people. There's not much that the church can really do to offer a life-changing message that will bring people out of the darkness into the marvelous light. It only ends up meeting some kind of social need. I say all of this today because I never want to lose an understanding in the Church of Jesus Christ of why the ministry should be focused on the Word of God. It should be a word and sacrament ministry as Jesus instituted it. Think of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There may not be to us anything outwardly glorious about that. And yet, when a pastor does this and honors this in confidence of what God has told us to do, as he receives, as he gives, and the people receive the word of God, people are saved. And so I want us to think about this today as we look in the book of Acts at the design that God has put in front of us for Christian ministry. What is Christian ministry? What is the primary way through that ministry that God gives faith to people and saves people? Well, a great place to go is the book of Acts, because here we have set before us what the apostles did, and that should very much interest us. There was a certain model in Acts of what they did in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in Acts chapter 16, as we look at this in verses 11 through 15, what we have here is Paul on his missionary journey. What's he concerned about? Paul, Silas, and Timothy head for Macedonia, and they come to the city of Philippi. And typically in a given city on a missionary journey, Paul would look for a synagogue on the Sabbath to have an opportunity to preach Jesus. Well, interestingly, in Philippi, we find that there wasn't a Jewish synagogue there. Philippi was a Gentile city in eastern Macedonia, which today is modern Greece. It was a thriving Roman colony. Well, Paul and Timothy and Silas enter Philippi in about AD 49, and they aren't able to find a synagogue. So without the presence of a synagogue, we really do get a sense of how Gentile and how pagan this region was. It was full of temple prostitution, full of cults, full of darkness. If there were to be a church plant in Philippi, it would be working from the ground up. Well, in Acts chapter 16, this is what we read at verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. So what happened is that they looked for a synagogue on the Sabbath, couldn't find one, and they went out to the riverside and found this prayer group of women. It was a women's prayer group. And this prayer group had obviously become very convinced that the God of Israel was the only true God, and Jesus Christ, was being the Son of God, was the one, the promised Messiah, that all the law and the prophets had spoken of. And so they're out there by the river doing Bible study. And if you continue to read Acts 16, you will see that through this Bible study, though it was very good, something was missing. Something was missing. What we read in verse 13 is that as they were praying, Paul, Timothy, and Silas sat down, listen to the emphasis here, and spoke to the women who met there. We get a sense of proclaim. These women are praying and studying, but something was lacking, and that's so important for today. I know there are listeners who are listening right now who are very satisfied with doing their personal devotions and Bible study. I can tell you right now, that's not enough. That's not what God has ultimately put in place to feed your soul. Important as that is, there's so much emphasis on personal devotion and Bible study today that we've missed the corporate need that God has put in place and met in the authoritative preaching of the gospel. So what happens? Well, verse 14 is just special. I love this. A certain woman named Lydia heard. This is important here. Notice the emphasis. Paul speaks and the text highlights, this is the Spirit given inspiration to this. She heard. Lydia heard. It's so important to understand what's happening here. You could read right over that. She heard. Hearing is so much more than just listening, isn't it? Remember in Matthew chapter 17, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Matthew 13, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Matthew 13:9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. A lot of people come and listen to the message, but nothing has happened on the inside. In fact, this is why Jesus said in Mark 4, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And that is why we have always said, be careful how you hear, what you hear, because if you immediately walk away criticizing the word of God faithfully preached, the only alternative is that you are one of those hearers upon which the seed of the word preached has landed on the path, and the devil has come and taken it away. You've hardened yourself. And that's why the parable of the sower was given. The parable of the sower was given to explain different kinds of hearers. Some harden, some only listen, some get temporarily excited. Boy, can't we testify to that? Some hear and there's no change. Some listen, but everything else in life is clouding their minds as the word is preached so that they can't hear. The deceitfulness of riches, these sort of things. But then there are some who hear. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He who hears the word. Well, this is Lydia. Paul is speaking the word, and the text makes it very clear that she heard. What does that look like? Well, Acts is giving us a real picture of it. Listen to Acts chapter 14. Paul's at Lystra, and he's preaching, and there's a crippled man there. Notice what happens. This is verse 8. And at Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, proclaiming, there it is again, proclaiming the word, he heard it. This is all over the Bible. All over the Bible. The whole parable again of the sower was, take heed how you hear. And this is important because in Romans chapter 10, God said, faith is given. How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? So then, faith comes. In other words, salvation comes. Somebody believes. How that happens is by the word of God preached. And notice, you know, we have all these movies today and all of these dramas and all these new movies coming out. I can tell you right now, that is not the means God has chosen to grant faith. I know that's countercultural, and it's countercultural in the church today. God has always, always, always said it's through the message preached, the foolishness of the message preached, that he has chosen to save those who believe. He doesn't want it done in human wisdom. He doesn't want it done in human drama. He wants it done in a weak, ordinary, seemingly powerless method to bring people out of the darkness. So here we are. Here's what Paul did. Listen to verse 3. Paul is observing this man in Acts chapter 14 who is sitting there, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Paul is there proclaiming, and what happens? Paul observes him intently and seeing that he had the faith to be healed. Whoa. Paul is looking at this man. And this man is so engaged, so enveloped, so taken by the word of God preached that it has overwhelmed him. And Paul can perceive just by looking at his countenance that he had the faith to be healed. You know, I can say this. I've often seen that. When I'm preaching, I can see that certain people are so taken with the message that I can perceive that they believe because of how the message, as they are listening to it, has gripped their life. It's a beautiful thing. It's an exciting thing to see, and a pastor knows this. The message overwhelms you. I've also experienced the other. At funerals, I can think of specifically the very same message, the opposite. I've seen people angry. Body posture and attitude shows what's going on in the heart as the message confronts their life. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, or we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? That is how powerful the message is preached. The Holy Gospel preached with power. And I'm not talking about a light, casual homily for life. That doesn't transform. I'm talking about preaching in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, which is far different because it kills you and it raises you brand new in Jesus. It brings an end to your wants and desires, to pursuing your best life now, and it raises you brand new to pursue the life of Christ. I think of Philip in this connection. The Spirit told him to go overtake the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. And what does he find? Well, he finds this man reading Isaiah. And this man was reading Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. So this man's reading the Bible, doing private devotional reading. It wasn't good enough, dear listener. The Spirit tells a pastor to go overtake the chariot. And what does Philip do? What does he say? Do you understand what you're reading? Of whom, what does the man say? How can I unless someone guides me? I can't understand this. I need someone to guide me. And then he says this, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? So in other words, I'm reading Isaiah 53. I can't figure this out. I don't understand this. What had to happen? Do you understand what you're reading? I need someone to guide me. This is the next verse in Acts 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Whoa. Now God has said, I choose the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That means if you're neglecting the church, and I say this in all humility and care today, if you're alone and you're just turning on the radio and you're neglecting church, and you're not coming to hear the message preached, you are neglecting the means and the method that God has chosen to save you. That's tragic, dear listener. That's why we have a church, to preach the gospel. And so as Philip opened his mouth, he began at that scripture. He preached Jesus to him. And the next thing you read was, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He opened his mouth and preached. And that change occurred. He understood. This is all over the place, dear listener. This is all over the place. Think of Peter coming to Cornelius' house, the Gentile, to baptize him. What does Peter do before he baptizes Cornelius and his household? Listen to Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us, here it is, to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who, ready? Heard the word. Peter preached, Holy Spirit fell, and those who heard the word were then baptized. That is the way. That is awesome. And you see what we're missing in the church today? I mean, shouldn't this just fill you with some kind of righteous anger when a cool, hip pastor gets up there and all he does is entertain you, refuses to preach, and just is telling short life stories from his own personal experience, not refusing as he refuses to exposit the word of God? So this is all over the place. In Acts 11, all these people are sent preaching. I'm just showing you story after story after story in Acts to solidify this. Acts 11, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Romans 10, how shall they call in him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Not everyone does that. Not everyone is sent to preach and baptize. That's why we have pastors. And this is what we need recovered today. So now I come full circle. Let's come back to Lydia. Paul speaks, Lydia hears, Acts 16. And what do you read next? This is the most amazing verse in Acts. I love this. Then the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Let me give you a sense of that. The Lord did what? He literally opened. He completely opened Lydia's heart to hold on to, in the Greek, to hold on to, almost to be addicted to, paying so close attention to the words spoken by Paul. Isn't that beautiful? Who opens the heart, dear listener? You don't. The Lord does. Through this means, in his powerful sovereignty, God opens up people's hearts so that they hear the word. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's so important. I can preach so I'm blue in the face, but until the Spirit of God opens the heart for someone to receive the truth, do you know what they are? Ezekiel tells us, dead bones. He brought him into a valley and showed him the dead bones. And what did the Lord tell Ezekiel to do? Prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain that they may live. Wonderful stuff. Preach to them, they'll live. That's the kind of thing that happens with the preaching of the gospel. And I want to plead with the listener today. You have children who aren't believing. Where do they need to be? You can tell them how to live. You can tell them what to do till you're blue in the face. We have to bring them to sit under God's word because the Spirit works and he rattles the dry, dead bones and puts life into them. And every time we neglect the worship of God, every time we stay away from the proclamation of his gospel, we are hurting our own souls. And that's why this is so important. And so the Lord is opening the heart. The Lord is opening here lives. He's changing them. And remember, this is what we see in Acts, that they were cut to the heart when they heard. When the word was preached, people were brought out of darkness and brought into this marvelous light. So are we making value of this, dear listener? There's something that's very important, a great responsibility that we have as Christians in coming to hear and hearing with serious intent. Sunday is often treated as a day for sleeping in, to do what we can, to please ourselves. The Lord is saying, come, be refreshed. Hear the words of life. Be filled with that which is able to bring life to your dead soul. Hear the word of God and live. And so I challenge us today on Abounding Grace. Hear this for what it is, a sincere, gracious plea to come to the place that God has put in place for you, to hear his living water, to receive his living water in words of life, and be brought out of darkness into light to know the power of Christ in him crucified. This is what he offers you. Come, hear him. This is my beloved son, says the Father. Hear him. As always, we invite you to the website at agradio.org to explore that website, to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Again, that web address is agradio.org. So grateful you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. May this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, if you enjoyed what you heard today on Abounding Grace Radio, we would like to give you a personal invite to the Escondido United Reformed Church to hear more of the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ from all of Scripture. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and I extend to you that warm invite. Our worship service times are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. Visit us at escondidourc.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in.